Okay, we'd like to, if everyone in the room can take their seats, we'll get started. Welcome to the Utah Inland Port Authority Board meeting. Today's October 6, 2025. We are here at beautiful Southern Utah University. I consider myself a T-bird, as I did go to 1 year of school here. My very first year was here, you know, on this beautiful campus, and I had a great time, a great experience, and it was very formative in making me who I am today. So thank you, SUU, and all the T-Birds out there. So today I want to welcome those in attendance. We have Bill Wyatt on our board here with us, as well as myself, Joel Ferry. I will be chairing the meeting today. And online I see we have, I'll just recognize those board members online. We've got Jefferson Moss. We've got Victoria Petro, and we've got, I think Jonathan, Jonathan, there you are, and Jonathan Friedman. I would like to note as well that today the legislature was called into special session, and so several of our board members, as well as our chair, will be joining us at the appropriate time, but they're not with us at this moment, but they will be joining us as that special session is still ongoing, and so they're called away for that. So, but thank you all for being here, for participating, and for your attendance as we conduct the business for today for the Utah Inland Port. So today our agenda has been provided to you both, to the board members and available to the public online. And, so we will have on our agenda, we have an executive director report that will include some of the activities that have taken place in the Northwest Quadrant, as well as a logistic and strategy update. We will have two policies to review, and we also have a contract for professional services that we will review. The introduction of amendments to our project areas, these will be introductions in both in all of the above Iron County, Juab County, and Box Elder counties. For those of you who are here would like to give public comment, that we anticipate that will occur around 3:45. So just be prepared for that. Are we giving out cards or?
Right.
Okay. And anyone in the room, if you did want to do a public comment, if you could please fill out one of these cards here and hand it to Diana. She has her hand raised here. So if anyone would like. So just anticipate that around 3:45. So, in order to speak during that public comment, you will fill out the comment card, hand it to Diana, and I just mentioned that. Okay. So all public comments to note are will be limited to 2 minutes in length. And because that time is limited, please understand that we may not get to everybody who wants to comment, but we invite you to submit your comments in writing at the Utah Inland Port, inlandportauthority.utah.gov. So you can make those comments online and we will address those. So getting into it, we're going to skip the first item, which is approval of minutes until we have a quorum. We'll bring that back up at the appropriate time. So Ben, I am going to turn the time over to you for your executive director report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to all those who are with us both in person and online. It is always a pleasure to be in Cedar City, Utah. We saw some great economic data coming out of Iron County and the southwest region of the state last week. This area is still growing strong. It has a lot of good things going for it. One of the things we often talk about here in Cedar City is that people are willing to work together to get things done. That's always impressive, and that message always resonates whenever we come down to be part of, whether it's the One Utah Summit or things happening in the Iron Springs area. We appreciate our good AVP, Danny Stewart, who does a great job leading on this area. We appreciate all our AVPs. Mr. Chair, if it's okay, we'll go to Stephen Smith for a report out on the Northwest Quadrant, and then I'll add maybe just a minute or two of commentary after that.
All right. Mr. Chair and members of the board that are here at the moment, thank you. I'm also I'll give my SUU creds. I'm a graduate of Southern Utah University, class of 2002, way back then. And it is great to be back amongst my fellow T-Birds and giving a quick update on the Northwest Quadrant of Salt Lake City, which is a little ways away from here, but Since I did a presentation during the board retreat back in August, and we went in a little bit more detail, I'm going to be very quick with this one today and just provide some high-level updates. As a quick reminder, these are the items that we're tackling as optimization in the Northwest Quadrant. So we've got a lot going on here. But for the sake of brevity, I'm going to tackle three things. The first of which is just a quick update on business development. We are still very actively working on some recruitment opportunities this year. We have submitted a number of responses to RFI. We've had a lot of organic opportunities come through for Salt Lake. One in particular that we're working on right now that we expect to bring to the board in November is another battery energy storage opportunity, representing probably another 200 megawatts that we're looking at in Northwest Quadrant area. Again, this would be the second that we'd be looking at doing here, but it's really a great opportunity for us to ensure some stability in the Northwest Quadrant as far as it goes with energy, and an opportunity really for us to support green and clean energy opportunities there. So again, that company has already been through our committee, tax differential committee, and so we do expect to bring that for hopefully an incentive approval to the board next month. We are still also working through existing business growth and expansion. Some of us were lucky enough to get to visit Stadler a couple weeks ago when they opened up their new welding hall. I'm proud to say we had a hand in supporting that as well, and we're always looking for those opportunities. I'm going to touch on the baseline and preferred scenarios project. We are in the wrap phase for the baseline study. So we've spent the last 6 months, we started this back in April, working on the baseline study with in partnership with Salt Lake City and WSP, who's the contractor. They've been doing a fantastic job with us. A lot of opportunity for us to get feedback from the community through our workshops, through our surveys. We got a lot of support through our own team and Caroline and a number of our team members and being out and about Salt Lake community over the last summer, and it's been a fantastic opportunity. We're going to get the draft final report for that and the findings from the baseline. In the meantime, we are starting in on the preferred scenarios section of this study. So that's part B of this, taking all those findings from the baseline, starting to coalesce those into recommendations, and ultimately provide a list of scenarios for us to utilize as we go forward with Salt Lake and make determinations on how to spend tax differential in that area. Again, and moving right along, we are doing an open house session, actually two of those in November, where we are inviting members of the Salt Lake community on the west side to come in, review the preferred scenarios, weigh in on their ideas, what they like, what they don't like from those, and then ultimately that will turn into the final study. So that is coming up, and then we do expect to bring that back to this board for review in probably early 2026, just because of the timing around the holidays and the legislative session. I also want to just call out, we are working on a transportation study with our partners at UDOT and Wasatch Front Regional Council. We are, as you'll recall in the last board meeting, this board gave us approval to move forward with that joint partnership with UDOT. We are in the contract process for that component, but in the meantime, the RFP for this study has already gone out. It went out last week. I believe it goes through the 20th of October for respondents for that. The scope of that effort we've highlighted on the map here is not the entire Northwest Quadrant jurisdiction, but really kind of north of California Avenue, identifying freight opportunities, what are the connection points that we need to consider, public transits and their utilities as well. So this is going to be really a strong opportunity, and I'm going to differentiate this from the logistics study. This is really looking at that on-the-ground transportation and how things move through the Northwest Quadrant, with a particular emphasis on 7200 West, as that's absolutely critical to our efforts at the Temple Landfill. Any questions on that? Okay. With that, those are the three things I really wanted to cover, but I'm happy to answer any other questions about stuff happening in the Northwest Quadrant. I'll turn the time back.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Is there
maybe
more on your report?
I will just give a couple of minutes of commentary, and perhaps, Mr. Chair, even while the logistics folks are coming up to give their presentation as the next agenda item. But one of the things I get a question about a lot is, why are you still called a port? What is the definition of a port? Why are you guys called in the port? I was presenting at the League of Cities and Towns last week, and they asked me the same question, the audience there. And I will say, even in our meeting in Fairfield in Utah County, their mayor in the public meeting asked the very good question there also. I think there's a lot of people who understand a seaport in the concept. The inner workings of a seaport are very interesting. They're not all that dissimilar from what we're doing at the port. We are a little bit different in the sense that the entire state of Utah is kind of our port. We're working on transportation and logistics items all over the state of Utah. As an example of that, last week we were in Tooele County. Before that, we've been in Iron County working on projects. And so the idea here, and a typical seaport is going to be a landlord, a financier, and ensuring that you've got good service coming in and out of any given specific area, a port. We do that same thing in most everywhere across the state of Utah. We're at an interesting inflection point in kind of the port's history. I've been the executive director for 3 years now. And I think my priorities, I think, has been well identified. It's creating new project areas, expanding our logistics infrastructure. We're getting to a point now where I think we're stepping into 2.0 of our port rollout and our port happenings. And I think we're going to see much more effort around project area optimization. I think we're also going to see much more area around port infrastructure as well. This is really important for the state. I say this a lot, but I haven't said this for a couple meetings. When it comes to our over-dependency on the trucks, it's been well documented. I think people realize we've got more trucks on our roads than any other state in the country. We've got a lot of our air cargo, as Bill knows, and is leading out on, in terms of leaving the state to go to other airports. We'd like to see more of that captured here in the state of Utah. We realize as we do that, we're building a stronger economy. We're getting out to different parts of the state that have been left behind by the road network. This presents real opportunity for us. So now that we've got a good framework of project areas, logistics infrastructure that we're already starting to build out, we know who we are. The port is stronger than it's ever been. Now it's time to lean into strategy and really make a generational difference. So as we're looking at how we optimize our position in the state of Utah, you're not going to see us try and reinvent ourselves or anything like that. We're doubling down. We understand what it means to block and tackle as an inland port authority. So we're going to continue to lean in on those things that we've done really well and we're going to keep working in on. We realize the economy's slowing down a little bit. And so there are some headwinds out there for sure. But at the same time, we feel like we have a great opportunity. We've got a good track record of what we've been able to show for 3 years now. And we feel like the next 3 years, our best years are ahead of us. And we're going to be able to do some really amazing things. But it's all in partnership. It's how well we work with our partners. And I hope that's what sets the port apart. We're not going to work against each other. We're going to work with and through each other, our local partners, our state partners, because that's where we can make really incredible things happen. And so with that, Mr. Chair, that ends the executive director report and perhaps
thank
tease
you
up the implementations.
Stephen, thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Appreciate that presentation. Thank you. And that was a great report. So, okay. Yeah, let's go. Jefferson Moss, recognize you.
Yeah, I just wanted to just kind of tag on to what you said, Ben, is I've been in this new role with the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. I think I've even gained a deeper appreciation of the role of the Inland Port. And the partnership, I'll just tell you, from my role has been amazing. I do appreciate that we are talking about some of the challenges with some of the, you know, impacts of tariffs and some of the things with the economy in general. I don't think the Inland Port could have been better positioned than right now to meet that opportunity. So just want to echo and thank you for the great partnership that you've been in your team.
Yeah, thank you for those comments. I couldn't agree more. So, okay, we're now going to go to a logistics update. We got Sebastian and Alan with us. So, guys, time's now yours.
Great. So just as Ben was talking, you know, a lot has been done in the last little bit. And we had gone out and we have the logistics strategy that we've been implementing against. And we talked with the board a couple of board meetings ago about all the things that we've done to implement against that. And there's three really main areas around that. There's the enhancing rail access throughout the state. There's improving connectivity with the coastal ports. And then there's also establishing an air cargo gateway. And as we look forward and we start moving into 2.0, those things are still going to be very important because we're still continuing to execute against those. So we'll continue to do that. But there's some things that have changed over the course of the last year. And a big one is the intermodal, that we now are a dual-served intermodal by our Class 1 railroads. So what does that do for our market? Well, it actually opens it up to a lot more ocean carriers. It makes it much more competitive, and it really benefits everyone in the state. But that driving the efficiency and the competition is really important to our Utah manufacturers and shippers, because that's what really makes them competitive, right, long-term. So the other thing that's going on is that you're seeing now in the Port of LA, Long Beach, you're seeing some really unprecedented growth. They are growing extremely fast there. And they're already the largest port in the U.S., and they are served by all of the major ocean carriers. And as they continue to grow, we're going to start seeing that freight moving inland. And that's exciting for our market, right? We are about a day and a half truck trip to 80 million people from Salt Lake City, and it puts us in a really great spot to be able to be a hub on the West Coast. So if we look at the way things flow now, then talk to it, we have more trucks on the road than any other state. And a lot of those trucks are on their way to the Port of LA Long Beach. And so we really need to, as we move forward, we need to start thinking about how do we stop those trucks in Utah and add value and get them on the road here, right? We want to be able to, like I said, add value in Utah, create jobs, create opportunities, and get those goods on the rail, the trucks off the road. And so we are excited about that opportunity. It's going to take a little bit of time as we educate and to start making that shift, because people will continue to do things the way they've done them for a lot of years. So, but we're excited about that opportunity. So we think that those are some things that are really playing in our favor. Just that we've now are served, you know, with a dual class one intermodal, and the amount of growth that's going on in the Port of LA Long Beach really positions us well for the future. So Sebastian's going to talk to us a little bit more about air now.
So I just want to preface that it's now been a year and 1 month that I've been with the port. And if you would have asked me before I joined the port, could I have been able to execute on all the things the port intended to do? There was a lot of enthusiasm, but this year has really brought into perspective just how great our financial tools are, our resources, the partnerships that we have, and it's through partnership that we're able to achieve what we're doing. We have not had a direct flight to Asia since 2009. That's huge. We now have access to 50 different destinations all through Asia, and that's not inconsequential. We're talking about e-commerce. When people think of the goods that are moving down, what's enriching our Utah economy right now? And if we take a look at this grid here, this is very recent. You know, we have the impression that the economy is slowing down, but this is as early as the last 3 weeks. Trade is certainly not. What we're looking at on the green dots here is chargeable weight. This means that tonnage is up from air cargo all over the world. Some of the largest gains happening in the Asia Pacific region. And if we look at our Latin America region, these are tremendous gains, right? That's a 5% gain. So when we think of the markets that Utah has the ability to access, not only from Asia, but now coming soon with the direct trial flight to Lima, we are targeting and are connected to the most robust markets in the world. We are exactly where we want to be. And to be able to support those, not only from an air cargo perspective, but from an intermodal perspective, Utah is really becoming primed for being a true cargo gateway. having these direct flights, it means that our cargo touches fewer points. Why does that matter? When we think of the high value sectors in our, in the Utah economy, semiconductors, perishables, aerospace and defense, health, pharmaceuticals, when they fly air, this is because they're flying premium. They're not paying for air cargo service because it needs to be there next month. It needs to be there tomorrow. It needs to arrive on time and it needs to arrive safe. It means that we need the infrastructure, not only here at Salt Lake International, which is being built. We have an amazing infrastructure through our partners with Delta coming soon, our new third-party facility. But we just took a trip to Korea to make sure that those facilities are equally substantial on that side. We can't have freight going to our other destinations and not being cared for properly, just as much as we can't have being freight sent to us and not being able to support that freight. The local benefit, it means that we're going to have fresher goods. It means that our markets, our manufacturers here in Utah who are producing the semiconductors, think Texas Instruments, who's going to go live, now have the ability to go ahead and send their freight and deliver on time and safely. Our global partners are leaning in. The Ilan Port, in partnership with Salt Lake International, just set up a trade mission to connect with Delta Cargo, Korean Air Cargo, and Delta and DHL supply chain. The response was phenomenal. Not only was it great to see the infrastructure that they already have built there, but they were excited to see the presentation of Salt Lake International, partnership that we have together, and what we're doing and building on Salt Lake International's airport to support the freight. There was nothing but excitement, and I think the response was great. To close out the tour, we took a stop in Japan, and the same was received from Nippon Air Cargo. And the reason Nippon matters is because, much like Korean Air Cargo, these are freighter-only providers. It means that alongside our good partner Delta Cargo, which is a passenger freight cargo provider, we also need to open the market up for larger goods. This serves the project cargo, the Boeings, the aerospace and defense industry, who need these larger platforms to bring freight in and out timely into our market. So the fact that they express interest, they see the vision that we're putting forward, led out by Salt Lake International. The overall outcome as we look into 2.0 is really taking advantage of our geographical advantage. You know, it is true that we do have more trucks on the road than any other state, but the reason that's true is because we have an amazing infrastructure for that road network. The question is can we make that road network more efficient by trucking shorter for the rail deficient states? We make that pit stop here in the Utah. We make the long hauls of 800-plus miles from Utah to the coastal cities and let the rail take care of that. In the meantime, air cargo pick up the rest, where all of the critical freight, the life-saving materials, the medical devices, the technology, and the pharmaceuticals. And that's what our infrastructure can support over the next 10 years. When we think of who this serves, we're putting manufacturers first, and we think this vision aligns very robustly with the growth that we're seeing all across Utah. And we'll leave it open for some questions.
Thank you. Thank you both for those presentations. Are there any questions? Okay. Great work. Fascinating to see the developments, and it's amazing it's only been a year since you came. So good job.
Thanks.
Okay, let's see. Up next, we have some policy updates. Ariane, forward.
Is Ariane coming up?
I'm going to represent on this topic.
Amy, so, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on this important topic as we bring our board-approved policies up for an annual review. One of the things that we wanted to bring up, in addition, we had recently reviewed back in spring the project area and property tax differential use policy that governs how we go about tax differential, how we go about creating these project areas, and all the things that go around this. As we have been working with different counties and municipalities on the reporting process, as well as some of the requests that we've had for amendments, we wanted to propose to the board an added addition to the amendment section of this policy that would add minimal boundary additions that we would just do in a single board meeting if that is what it entails. By statute, we are only obligated to bring these project area plans and budgets for one meeting, but by policy, we've expanded it, especially with creation and more of these enhanced amendments, to do two board meetings, the public board meetings. So that's when we'll be seeking next month for approval. The other policy that my colleague, Deputy Director, CFO, Arianne Gibson brought up in the last board meeting were enhancements that we've made to the Authority Infrastructure Bank policy. We have not made too many additions since it was last presented. And what we have done is removed just in the section for application, this personal financial statement. Really, we want to just go through a application process, and it defines what the specific components that we're looking for. We will be seeking board approval for this revision as well later on in the agenda. I'll pause here if there's any questions on the policies at this time.
Any questions on the policy update? Okay. Go ahead with the professional logistics services.
Thank you. I just want to share my screen. This has a summary. We recently had a contract that is expiring at the end of this month, in at the end of October. And we had decided to go put this out for RFP again. It'd been a couple of years since we had RFP for these services. And this is really around professional logistics services, consulting with expertise in the logistics areas. And after a thorough review for this, we have the evaluation committee agreed that Broadway Consulting would, we would like to award them a two-year contract for averaging around $300,000 a year with a total cost not to exceed $600,000 for 2 years. We would also seek that we could do we'll have the 2 year duration with 3 1-year optional extensions. So this contract would not exceed 5 years in total, which is something that we try to keep these types of professional service contracts to. So I'll pause there if there's any questions on this.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Can I give just a half second thumbnail expert here too? Thank you, Amy, for that. Let me just mention, for those who may wonder how this fits into the port infrastructure and organization, so this actually supports Alan Evans. He was here. Alan does a great job overseeing our logistics strategy, but we actually work through him on a consultancy basis. So just to be clear, you see Alan as part of our organization. Alan is actually working as a consultant. We feel like this has been a great contract for us. He's doing amazing work for the port, and so this is just re-upping and committing to him for another couple of years.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Are there any questions on these contracts?
Okay.
No one online either, right? Thank you. Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you
for bringing us up to speed on those items. Okay. Next up, we'll hear from two presentations from Danny Stewart. Danny, yep, here you come. On proposed amendments to these two different project areas. So Danny, will you please update us? And got some associates with you.
Perfect. I do.
Please feel free to bring chairs forward. That's fine. Yeah. Oh, there's more. We have one more chair. You've got. You're welcome to bring another chair here too.
Yeah, he'll be here for the next.
Want to be front row?
Sean will be here for the next.
Now you're good. Okay. Thanks. Hey, Danny, it's all you.
Okay. Trying to find my screen, and it's not showing here. Chrome. Let's see this. This happened at the last meeting. For some reason, it's not giving this window as an option to share. It's something I'm... Oh, here we go. Just had to...
Make right Larry up. Stand up one more time.
Sure.
Ready to help. There you go. Okay.
There we go. Good afternoon, board members. I'm so happy to have you here in my hometown. Welcome to Cedar City. Great to have you here. It's a great place to live and to work remotely from. And those who are joining me here today are from Iron County as well to talk a little bit about the proposed amendment number 2 for the Iron Springs project area. It's hard to believe that this is not that old either, only about 2.5 years old in the Iron Springs project area. And a lot has happened, and there's a lot going on with this new amendment. So thus far, the boundaries of the Iron Springs project area, the ones that you see in red, are all in the unincorporated Iron County. But what we're looking at doing today is amending in industrial zone properties in both Cedar City and in Parowan to be added to our project area. First off, we have two industrial areas in Cedar City for consideration, including the undeveloped portions of the Port 15 Utah Industrial Park, equaling about 460 acres, and also about 152 acres of the Amber Industrial Park that you see on the map just a little bit to the east there. These are areas that are both zoned industrial. They're part of the community's economic development strategy, and they tie in very nicely with what we want to accomplish here. Joining me today, I have Brent Drew, who's back here with Port 15 Industrial Park. We have Phil and Jason, who are with the Amber Industrial Park. And then jumping ahead to the next here, we have Parowan Airport Industrial Park. Mayor Molly Halterman and Dan Jessen, the city manager of Parowan, joining us as well. And I'll have them fill in just a little bit after I explain what we're trying to accomplish by adding these three areas. So Parowan City asked to amend their airport industrial park back in the spring. It's taken us a while to get everybody pulled together for today's meeting. We're happy to be here. Proposed amendment that we're talking about will help Cedar City, Parowan, and Iron County better realize their combined economic development strategies in alignment with the original project area plan for Iron Springs, encouraging the retention and expansion of existing companies here, and also the recruitment of new companies to create employment opportunities to diversify our economy here in Iron County. The Port 15 Utah Industrial Park was created in 2006 and 2007, by Cedar City's Redevelopment Agency. Since then, several businesses have been recruited to this, to the Port 15 Business Park. And Cedar City's RDA agreement has helped finance infrastructure for development in this industrial park, mostly south of the Union Pacific. I'm going to back up to that so you can see it again. That's the one that's right adjacent to our project area. You will notice that the areas that are currently developed that have buildings on them, those are part of the Cedar City RDA project. They will remain in that Cedar City RDA and see that through to the end of its life. That's working well for them. But we find that the port tools will be a great benefit to Port 15 Utah. We've been discussing this ever since the project area was created. So we will amend Cedar City's RDA area to just include what's already been developed, and we will look to amend in the areas shown in orange there, which are undeveloped properties. They have rail access, they have utilities in place, and Port 15 has been a great part of Cedar City's economic development strategy for some time now. Just to the east of that, as I mentioned, the Amber Industrial Park, this is 152 acres, also with railroad access. This is being privately developed by Phil Schmidt, his company here, and they are looking to have a tenant that will utilize rail or building supplies to support the region and also to recruit new businesses into that area. So that's what we have in Cedar City. It might be a good time if you gentlemen have anything you'd like to mention briefly to the board. Brent, if you'd like to step up.
Well, we thought what you're doing is such a good idea. We started this in 2006, but
with the RDA.
Yeah, so thought we better actually update what we're doing and get the skills and the sizes of companies and different things we've been working with lately, I think have also made us want to become part of what you're doing here because they're bringing up more complex issues than we've had in the past. So,
hallelujah. Okay.
And so this has been a timely thing to try to join and be part of.
Perfect. And Phil will tell you a little bit about the Amber Industrial Park here.
Amber is 152 acres. It does have rail along the north side. It is also right along the Master Plan Road 800 North. Those roads are built now. The project, the utilities are in, the roads are in, and now we're ready. We just got recorded last week, and we'll be getting it ready to start promoting it. We do have a few people, big corporations looking. A couple of them are waiting to see what happens here. And so we appreciate Danny the opportunity to become a part of the port. I think it would be good for Cedar. It would be good for us. I think it'd be good for you guys. And the nice thing about our location, and we are fairly close to town. We're right off Lund Highway. So it's not really too far out of town, but pretty close.
Absolutely. Great. Let's jump over to Parowan. This is really exciting. It's fun to work with our county seat on a project that they've been looking at for some time. When I was economic development director for Cedar City and Iron County, I met with Mayor Halterman, and we talked about a lot of potential, a lot of interest in the airport. This is property that sits right between Interstate 15, the Parowan North Interchange, and the state road there that goes up to Paraguna. So it's a great central location. They've already identified this as an industrial area. And if you'd like to take a minute, either.
Yeah, I'll just real quick. We're super excited about this. We've been thinking about potentially doing an RDA. Most of this land has sat in Greenfield and has been completely underutilized. It's like 95% of the city's industrial zone property. And it has just, it hasn't been unlocked. We actually have an application in by the end of this week to the EDA to get a large grant to put in a road and power and water out to that area. We have an anchor tenant that's started. You as you drive down the freeway, you'll see that large building. That's our anchor tenant. We hope that growth leads to growth. And we're just excited. There's really a nexus here of the interchange and the airport and all of this industrial area. Parowan has kind of underutilized. We haven't really developed our commercial or industrial, which puts a very high tax burden on just the residents. So we're excited to be able to diversify our tax base, diversify our economy, and we have a great relationship with Cedar City and with Danny and with just everybody over here. So we're excited to finally get in and do something and develop there. Probably the second largest area of land there is under contract right now, and they're excited to move forward. If we can join with the state, then we think we'll have better resources to be able to do that than we could on our own with this, just an RDA. So we think it's a perfect fit. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we get this large EDA grant. We're also applying to GOYO for a match component of that. So I think we're right at a nexus where this area is about ready to take off. So thanks.
Thank you. Mayor?
I was going to say it'll be the first time Parowan will be able to kind of stand on its own feet with some economy that's sustainable and that we feel is basically, like Dan said, an opportunity that we are finally to a point that it's going to happen. And it's really exciting to be part of it, but this is a big component of it as well.
Generational.
Oh, absolutely.
The thing that the port brings to all three of these areas is the ability to help develop the public infrastructure that will help them, the areas surrounding where they're at. It will help us attract the businesses we're trying to recruit. As you drove down, I'm guessing you drove down yesterday or today, you wouldn't know that we've taken about 3,400 semis off of the highways in Utah, but our two transload facilities have accomplished that, processing more than 850 rail cars since they've opened. And we look to have these three areas better utilize our transportation and other infrastructure and help our communities grow here. Any questions?
Any questions online? Yeah. I don't see any. Thank you. Thank you. Well done. And thank you. It's a really impressive project. Good job.
I'll invite Sean up and we'll jump to another part of the state here.
Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good. So we're going to hear now on the proposed amendment to the Central Utah AgriPark project area. Excellent. Go ahead, Danny.
So very pleased to be to this point with Central Utah Agri Park. This project area was also created back in 2023. We had an amendment of properties last year. And the property that we're talking about today is very exciting because this is really the heart of the project area. Central Utah Agri Park was named for what is going to be occurring on these parcels here. So the reason that we're looking to amend this property is due to our six regional councils AgriPark Board of Directors purchase of about 920 acres owned by CITLA for the development of the AgriPark. It's the heart, as I mentioned, of the creation of this project area. After an exhaustive search for nearly 2 years throughout Juab County in the areas that have been defined as part of our project area, this property we find makes the most sense in a lot of different ways. Financially, infrastructure-wise, and a lot of other opportunities that have presented themselves. We're also focusing on an additional 1,400 acres of privately owned adjacent land that could be developed for utilities and other businesses to support the AgriPark project area. It's anticipated that this property will be annexed into Nephi City with the same expectations. I brought along with me Sean Kerr, who is over the AgriPark for R6. That's what he is charged with. And he'll speak a little bit about what we're looking at with this property here and why this amendment's important.
And we're really excited about this. The original location was a little bit further away, and we found in this site access to infrastructure that will save us tens of millions of dollars. We also found a willing partner that was willing to sell us the property in a large enough quantity that we could make things move forward without expectation of residential encroachment, without a very negative impact on those that are in the surrounding area. We hope to have a very positive impact. We appreciate Danny and his partnership as representation on our board, as well has been important to us as we've moved this project forward. Essentially, we're building an industrial park, but for agriculture. And the goal is that producers in our area will have greater access to processing distribution. And we feel like the Utah Inland Port Authority is a wonderful opportunity and a way to progress not only our project, but also see.
So inclusion of this property in the project area aligns with the project area plan and budget, with the main objective to create a better future for Utah's family farms, economy, and food security. While the preliminary phases of this project are being supported by the R6 Regional Council, this is the Six County Association of Governments, including San Pete, Juab, Wayne, Miller, Paiute, and Sevier counties, this AgriPark will benefit farmers and Utahns in every county of the state. As Sean mentioned, we were looking at properties farther down I-15, the area that is currently or has been known as the AgriPark zone of the project area. We're proposing that this new amended property be called the AgriPark zone. And we changed that other large area, the name of that, to the Juab Valley Zone. So that will be part of what we do with this amendment, is we make that change as well. Happy to take any questions from the board.
Okay, any questions?
Can you hear me? This is Senator Stevenson.
Yes.
Hey, Senator, just one quick question. Is this property more north of where I-15 makes the turn and goes across the valley and then heads back south? Is this more north up toward the north Nephi exit?
This is, yes, off of the north Nephi exit. Then it is north and west from there. It's about 4.5 miles north and west of Nephi and about the same north and west from Mona. So we're
so
out
in between Helena and Nephi. And
okay, great.
Just up on those foothills.
Yeah, So east of the freeway or west?
West.
West.
Out on the west hills.
Okay.
So I just trying to orient myself a little bit, so thank you.
Yeah, this map shows it a little bit, outlined in dark
green. Oh, there we go. Sure.
That's the current creek zone. That includes the Hellings tomatoes and the power plant there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just immediately west of that is the Nortonville rail zone, or east of that. I mean,
yeah, so that little skinny triangle.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's helpful. And you say this is about 1,400 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, 23.
Our section is 920. The other piece is about 1,400.
Okay. That's those two together.
About 23 total.
Okay. Great question. Any other questions? Okay.
not seeing any. Thank
you. Thank you.
And thank you, Danny, for those presentations. All right. Next up on our agenda, we have a presentation amendment to the Gold Spike Project area. Stephanie, come forward and go ahead with the outline and proposal.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chair and Board. I'm excited to present the second amendment to the Golden Spike Project area. We have just passed our second anniversary of the creation of the project area back in August, and we are really looking forward to this new amendment. We received a resolution from Willard City, who has identified 178 acres of land for industrial development in between two critical infrastructure assets, the Union Pacific Rail Line to the east and I-15 to the west. This zone is uniquely situated between Box Elder County and the Weber County labor sheds and will support the diversification of tax base for Willard City. We look forward to collaborating with Willard on this project. So here's a map showing the amended areas that we are looking at. It's about 180 acres to the north. You'll see the port of entry right there on I-15 to the south. There's an interchange and a Flying J right there. And so we have one developer who is has amassed all of this property. It's our friends at Millstream Partners. They were instrumental in bringing about the Lakeshore Learning Project in Garland, Utah. And so they know this market really well. They've been successful in attracting a fabulous project in Lakeshore to their original site up in Garland. And so we're really excited to be working with them again on this site. We'd like to acknowledge that this and future amendments will commit 3% of our differential to our wetland policy to support the protection of sensitive lands in this region. The developer let us know that they own about 200 acres of wetlands on the west side of I-15 right there. And they are really excited about this 3% commitment and look forward to submitting some projects on preservation that they anticipate for that acreage that they own. The Bear River watershed is a crucial tributary to the Great Salt Lake. And UIPA and our participating communities are committed to bringing good stewardship practices to these environmental assets. We really wanted to extend some appreciation to our partners in the Golden Spike Project area, Willard City, Brigham City, Box Elder County, Garland City, and Tremont City. The collaboration that has existed between these entities is really unique among our project areas. And since this is the first presentation of our project area amendment, no action is requested of the board at this time, but wanted to see if there was any questions from the board on this proposed amendment.
So I guess, is it the entire area, or I see there's three blocks on the screen?
It's the entire area, though those southern pieces are just separate parcels that were highlighted.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Are there any questions from the board? Any questions online? Okay. Thank you. I'll just make a comment. I'm glad to see that we have that 3% differential just across the freeway. As you know, is the Bear River Migratory Bird Refuge, which is wetlands and kind of really critical habitat areas. So, where this is on the east side of the freeway, less of an impact, but certainly that will help as we look at mitigating some of those impacts. That's a great thing. So thank you.
Well, and it's interesting, the developer, you know, with the purchase of all of this property, amassed a significant amount of property that is undevelopable, right? And so they're really excited to, you know, do some preservation and conservation projects. And this 3% is just an aid in what we can actually accomplish with those, rather than, you know, conservation, just leaving it alone. I think there's some enhancements that could ultimately help improve some of those areas. districts and preserve them in perpetuity.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that's great. So, okay. So no questions on the updated Golden Spike. So next up we have, do you want me to go? Is it 3:45? Okay. All right. So we're just a little bit behind on time. So we will take public comment after this next item. Okay. So the next item is the resolution.
Yes.
To the reconsideration of amendment number one to the Tooele Valley project area.
Absolutely. So we presented this to the board of last meeting, and in accordance with the UIPA statute, staff's request is requesting a reconsideration of the board of the resolution approving the Tooele Valley amendment number one. After the board action last month, minor reservations and reformatting of our legal descriptions came recommended to us from BPRC to help simplify and clarify the descriptions and really to help us facilitate reporting of the project areas in Tooele County. While the previous iterations of the legal descriptions were technically accurate, we believe that these changes will support the reporting of the project area and add clarity. We're grateful to our partnership with UGRC and their help in making sure that we're clear and accurate in these descriptions. It's a statutory requirement for our plans and budgets. And as staff, we recommend that the board approve this reconsideration and the edits to the budget last month.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
So the technical correction to those improvements.
Correct. And for our statute, a correction significant enough that we'll bring it back to.
Okay. Any questions from the board on that? Yeah, I'm not seeing any online in the room. Okay.
There is no public comment in the room.
So we have not received any cards in the room. Is there anyone online that would like to make a public comment? If you are, please raise your hand. I recognize you. We'll follow that 2 minute time.
You have one person, Monica Hilding.
Okay. Monica, we'll turn the time now to you. And we...
I just wanted to, I wanted to compliment the board on your marketing efforts. They're very, very professional, and I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice comment, and we'll make sure that the team in marketing knows that. Ben, will you convey that?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Monica, thank you for that comment. Are there any other comments online? Okay. I'm not seeing any, so we're going to now close the public comment period.
Thanks, Monica.
Was that your mom? No. It was Monica. Thank you, Monica. Okay. We really do appreciate that. It's always nice to get positive feedback. Okay. We'll now go into, confirm that we have a quorum online. Would you like to approve our minutes first?
You do have a quorum. It should be noted Abby is with us online. Senator Stevenson is with us online. And Tyler Clancy is with us online, as is Jonathan Freeman.
Thanks.
Senator Stevenson. I would make a motion to approve the minutes of our previous meeting.
Okay. That motion is in order. Is there any comment or discussion with that motion?
I'll second.
Looking for a second. That's right. We're following Robert's rules, I guess, not legislative rules. Okay. There's a second by Jonathan Friedman. Thank you. Any comment or discussion to that motion? Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and place the vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 And any opposed? No. Yeah, I'll rule that motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. We'll go here. Our first item is the approval of a policy update. So it's the Authority Infrastructure Bank.
I can read the motion. Yes, please. The motion is to approve BP 13, the policy for the Authority Infrastructure Bank.
Is there someone who would like to make a motion to approve that policy as presented?
I would make that motion, the motion that Ben just read. I would also let everyone know I don't want to make all the motions, so.
You know, when people are online, they get really shy, Jerry. Not you, though. Not you.
Well, I'm about shying out for today.
Not enough. Okay, so the motion is to approve the policy update on the Authority Infrastructure Bank. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes.
Okay, Abby seconds. Any discussion to the motion from the board? Okay, seeing none, I'll go ahead and place that motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 And any opposed, say no. I'll rule that motion passes unanimously. Okay, now we'll look for approval of the contract for professional and logistics services, Ben.
The motion is that the board approve the contract for professional and logistics services as has been presented by Amy Brown-Coffin.
So that motion is before us. Is there someone to make the motion to approve this contract?
I'll make that motion.
Representative Clancy, thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Abby seconds the motion.
I'm going to go with Abby seconds that motion. Hey, any discussion to the motion, which is to approve the contract for professional logistics services as presented? Okay, seeing no discussion, we'll place the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And any opposed, say nay. And I'll rule that that motion passes unanimously as well. Thank you for that. Our next item of business is adoption of the resolution, resolution 2025-45, which is reconsidering the amendment, the Tooele Valley project area. Do you want to read the motion for the record, Ben?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to. The motion is that the board approves resolution 2025-45, a resolution of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board adopting amendments to the Tooele Valley Inland Port Project Area Plan.
Okay. Is there someone that would like to make that motion?
I would make the motion. No, no, someone else is there.
You can't tell us you don't want to and then want to.
I get nervous when there's this blank time.
Awkward pause.
I'll second
Jerry's motion.
So we'll recognize Jonathan Friedman made the motion and Jerry is seconding the motion. The motion is to adopt the rules, adopt a resolution 2025-45 to reconsideration amendment number one to Tooele Valley Project Area Plan. Right. So any discussion to that motion? No discussion. Okay. All in favor, I'll place the motion now. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And if there are any opposed, say nay. Okay. I will rule that motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That concludes our business. We have one final item of business, guys. I don't know, Jerry, you're doing a really good job. Look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
That motion is in order and non-debatable. All in favor, say aye.
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 And any opposed, say no. Great. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned. Enjoy
just
your
glad to be here, folks.
I wish I was there with you, but, you know, you guys get to do the hard work.
You're going to have a tough time selling me on that one.
Okay, thank you for what you do and for joining us. Hopefully we'll see you down here in the next day or two. Thanks, guys.